My God, this screams of terror. It's an old video, I believe, of this Polish politician screaming, but people were bringing it back as the counteroffensive is failing as a form of admission of defeat. Real Base Talk says, I'd fix her. Yeah, she's very beautiful and all, but what is it with these women who think it's making a statement to be screaming? It's not interesting. It's like, at this point, we have so many of those, you know, the trans people going on to the UK Parliament and screaming for the pain of the trans. It's done. It's already been done. There is a magnitude 5.5 earthquake shaking Los Angeles. I think that 5.5 is relatively acceptable. I think it's not considered a super damaging earthquake. There have been no reports of any structural damage resulting from the earthquake. But it's happening at the same time as Hurricane Hilary is making it on the West Coast. So I guess that the combined effect will be a little more chaos. There was a very good joke by Babylon Bee about Hurricane Hilary. They said victims of Hurricane Hilary to be designated as death by suicide. In reference to the body count of Hillary Clinton, who keeps killing everyone and makes the death look like suicide, Hurricane Hillary will do the same. Those people who are dying on the West Coast right now shall be labeled as suicide deaths. San Diego expects the worst of Tropical Storm Hillary to hit in the next several hours. Those are the images we see. Lots of humidity, lots of rain, lots of cars raising clouds as they drive. That is the situation on the West Coast. Mark D's channel says the original plan was to allocate the deaths to COVID. Well, people are talking about expectations that a COVID cycle will come back, that the left is preparing another campaign of death labeling, as they like to do. Maybe. But I think when you try something twice with the population, it can only work less. So I think that if they try to redo a whole COVID thing, it's not going to catch as much as the 2021. That's a wonderful creature. I'm assuming it must be 3D animated. This doesn't look like a true biological creature, but I would love it if we could have a true biological creature that carries its eggs like this. Oh, and you hear the calm of the forest in the music. I love alternative biology dreams generated for games or for films. Absolutely beautiful. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? We have a chill show tonight. Not much happening. It's the weekend, and I'm a relax. People have been asking me to comment about this Argentinian politician. You won't hear candidates speak truth like this in America. They are too afraid. Let's see what he has to say. It's been a while that his interview is memeing, but I never had the time to go around and watch it. I was always struck as this guy was memeing very high on Twitter. I was always struck by the hair. The hair and the eyes of this guy. His eyes are blue. And yet he seems to be in a country that is very, you know, subject to racial mixing. And his hair are just bizarre. They are somewhere between long and short at this intersection of the dimensions of the world. where lesbian and soccer mom meet and cross together. I don't know how to describe those hair. I think that the big problem in Argentina is a cultural problem. This is a society infected by socialism. And what we need to achieve is to remove socialism from people's mind, and the main promoters of these ideas are the politicians. I suggest you take a look at what Graciela Camaño's statement were. She's supposed to be one of the best leaders. Do you know who they are against? Against the libertarians, because we libertarians are the only one to confront the problem of politicians and tell them, he's going too fast, and tell them that they are not the solution, that they are the problem. The politicians are a sort of sociopaths who want to make us believe that we are mentally invaded and invalid in every sense because we cannot live without them. But in reality, those who cannot live without us are them. In other words, if the country were divided between those who produce on one side and on the other side, the fucking politicians, the syndicalists, this whole bunch of parasites, they would sink and die. Let's separate Argentina into northern Argentina and southern Argentina. You know, those of us who are willing to work will go to the poorest part of the country. We will leave Vaca Muerta for them. Even if they end up with everything, these rats will sink. Because they're useless. On the other hand, those of us who produce and know how to make a living will thrive. We are decent people, hardworking people. And we don't advocate for envy, hatred, theft, or unequal treatment under the law. And we don't That abomination of social justice is the most unjust thing that exists. Because it means stealing the fruits of someone's labor and giving them to others just because I feel like it. And in that whole process, not only did they destroy the economy, they impoverished people. From 1970 to now, the size of the state tripled, and the number of poor people multiplied by 6. And you know who the ones who really prospered were? The politicians. So you know what? If you want to stay in this country, you have to identify the enemy, and the enemy is the politicians. We have to go after the politicians. They are our enemies. They are the ones dragging us into poverty. They are the ones who prospered with this idea of social justice and income redistribution. The real income redistribution was from what we produce to the political parasites. Libertarianism was born to free us from the oppressive rulers. Let's say this caste we have is like the monarchs. They don't even see the need to inherit. They're the same ones who were here in 2001. None of these thieves left. They all stayed. Are there more because they multiply, they bring in their relatives, they bring in their mistresses' families, and it grows and grows. So what he's describing is correct, and I largely agree with him. I like his delivery, very energetic, and I think it's the problem. We have a state-controlled economy, and I mean, it's a problem at different places. It may be a problem in South America, of course. It's also a problem in Canada and the U.S. There's just too much that is determined by state obligations, and you have a corporate world that develops not to serve the people, but to serve the state and to cash in on anything they might throw at you. So I fully support this guy. I'm super happy that there's a guy pushing these ideas in South America, and I'll follow with enthusiasm if he can win, but I don't know. The Libertarian Party in the U.S. is not serious at all. Is the Libertarian Party more serious? Is party more serious in Argentina? I don't know. Alimer says, congrats on your Elon loot, JF. Can we drive even more revenue your way by liking and retweeting your post? Or how does that work? Oh, certainly. The more you engage with my content, the more you spread the word about me, the more easy it is for me to make money. And it does have impacts. You know, I remember back in the days of my rise, the 4chan post about me were... I'm not telling you go to 4chan, and I don't need I don't desperately need exposure. I'm doing good, but yeah, any place where you want to bring me up, if you say, oh, that was a good clip by JF, well, you spread it in your local networks, on your Discord servers, you talk about it to friends, and of course it always helps, and it does show on my income. In indirect ways sometimes, but you know, you drive 10 pairs of eyes to my Twitter account, I may gain 3 followers. Maybe one of these followers eventually buys my book. It all stacks. U.S. intelligence deems Ukraine's counteroffensive a failure. According to the Washington Post, the U.S. intelligence community has assessed that Ukraine's spring counteroffensive will fail to meet its core objectives. Western officials said their war games had predicted massive Ukrainian losses, but that Kiev would remain committed to the operations and gain the upper hand on the battlefield. Well, it's this is a promise we've had for how many years now? Maybe more than a year. We haven't seen any sign that Ukraine is capable at winning at a spot that Russia defends for real. They are capable of winning at spots that Russia is already withdrawing from. You're capable of dominating and empty territory. Certainly, we have established this. Are you capable of competing with the Russian army? We have no evidence of this. And so I think that this assessment by the U.S. intelligence community was my prediction 1 month and a half ago when Richard Spencer was talking to me as enthusiastically about, oh, the counteroffensive is rising. Oh, we're going to see some action in Bakhmut. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it's turning exactly as I thought it would. He actually shook my confidence. I was like, whoa, Richard Spencer believes in this counteroffensive. Maybe he's right, you know, maybe I'm deluded, maybe I'm overconfident, maybe I've been propagandized by Putin. I see him as too great of a man, and I've been charmed by his propaganda, but no, it turns out I was right. Lendald Guntram says, spring offensive, and we are already in late summer, soon early autumn. Yes, spring offensive is over. So if you have not realized anything yet, it won't happen. It's over. We've seen all of it.
I feel like discrimination has gone out of hand.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have filed your own teeth. You don't seem like someone, and you have tattooed your own eyes.
I was discriminated against twice tonight in less than 2 hours.
Well, you are advertising a lot of stuff in your look. At some point when you send signals, you acknowledge that we are in an open signaling civilization. There are receivers out there. Some of them will receive what you want them to receive from your signals, but some of them will pick up on things that you may not have wanted them to pick up on. For example, I look at your tattoos and your nose ring, and I see a woman who is not super motivated to get employed.
Let me explain while I take off the makeup that I covered myself in to appease the public eye.
Okay, so she has makeup. We're not seeing all of it.
To get hired at jobs that I really don't even want.
See, I really don't even want that job. You can see it from the tattoos. Someone who gets as much tattoos as this is not super motivated. They're more motivated about the narcissistic display of their own signaling intent than they are at serving a corporation.
It's just something for me to get out of the house, you know?
Oh my god, she has tattoos all over her face below that makeup. Wow, that I hadn't heard about. A new technology for a robot to make a haircut. The robot is capable now of picking your hair like a human and just scissoring them just like a human would do. There's no sound on the video. It seems to be that it's kind of aspires in a tube. It aspires the hair in a tube of air. Is it pressure-based or is it clamping-based? I don't know how this tube aspires your air. Maybe it's just pressure-based. Negative pressure would suck in the hair, and then maybe there's a clamp. And then the scissors come in, and they can cut it at exactly the length that you've configured, I presume. Wow, isn't it dangerous? Okay, so that may be what clamps the air. Real Base Talk says it's not that difficult to cut your own hair. Exactly. I've been cutting my own hair since I'm a YouTuber. Not getting out. I'm saving on money. I highly recommend to anyone, cut your own hair. Super easy, unless you want to do anything fancy. It's totally possible. You just grab some hair like this and you cut at that level. And then you do clipper on the side if you want to do like me, or you do whatever you like on the side, but just pinch the air, click, click. Tillman says, JFE made the robot. Okay, so the guy we see having his hair cut is the guy who made the robot. That's interesting. Linda Yashiranaro of X makes a joke. Well, is that the real person? Is that her real account? Because I think that her real account is Lindaya X. Ah, so that's a fake account. So that's why she was... I was answering to her tweet, don't do it, but I'll delete my tweet if it's a fake account. She said the great reset is here for Twitter. I was like, not good. No, please don't do it. But it's not the real Linda. It is a parody account. I don't like interacting with parody account. I don't like that they actually fool. If you think fast and you have to act fast, and because I process a lot of news during the day, I have to act quick to a certain extent. It can fool me. You know, I don't have time to check always the source of each news. CNBC host debating whether you should buy Bitcoin or bonds. Just imagine the conversation 5 years from now. Listen, this is so funny because this guy is going to kind of try to bash Bitcoin and it's going to fall flat on the stage. It's pretty amazing.
You know, from such a different generation, should she be, she's got plenty of time. She's young. Should she be thinking about buying 4% bonds, or would you recommend she buy some Bitcoin, Jay? I mean, what would you tell Kelly Evans to do point?
What would I tell Kelly Evans? Diversify. That's what I would say. Diversify.
I'm kidding when I say.
He says, okay, doesn't clearly answer the Bitcoin question. Now this guy.
Don't buy a two-year note, buy Bitcoin. Sort of kidding.
He says, I'm sort of kidding. But he's not very convincing. And look at the silence that will happen on his attempt to sort of be kidding around Bitcoin.
I'm sort of kidding, but as you know.
Let's be clear. Bitcoin should not be a dominant portion of any investor's portfolio, okay?
And the host is totally silent, and this guy is like, No, Bitcoin shouldn't be part of a portfolio. With his big smile, look at the dead hair.
A dominant portion of any investor's portfolio, okay?
I guess can I just rewind for a second? So I like what you said, how Bitcoin is a technology, right? And there are,
you know,
absolute silence. I think that anyone serious knows that if you have someone telling you not to buy Bitcoin and that it shouldn't be part of your folio, your portfolio, you are depriving yourself of a massive opportunity. It is the only thing that we can see rise within the next 10 years. I don't see why you would get away from Bitcoin. It is absolutely ridiculous. People have asked me to comment, and people have shared an article by the Post Millennial on Graves in Canada. And I've decided not to talk about it, so don't interpret my silence about this because I don't care or I don't want to do the research. I have the article right here by the Post Millennial, and it's about a kind of Holocaust narrative about residential schools. They tried basically to build a whole history of, oh, we found those graves, and those graves are illustrative of what the Canadian people or Christians were doing to Native Americans. And it's a whole Holocaust-like story. But here's the thing. I know that the Canadian government is currently making it illegal, and I don't know where they're at in passing this law, but they're passing a law that you cannot deny those residential school Holocaust-type event. So it's like, I'm not going to engage on this point if they made an opinion illegal about it. And I can't even show on the screen the post-millennial article, because the post-millennial articles has a very negative claim about this story in their title. But all I'll say is, don't expect me to be able to comment on this, because they're on their way to making a law that keeps anyone from talking about this in any negative manner, or denying it, or saying, oh, we found out it was a not true, that these things will be illegal in Canada soon. And I'm not going to talk about a subject on which I cannot have insight. Now, I saw Yan Malchung, the Post Millennial, have been posting this, but perhaps many of these people live outside Canada, so they can say whatever they want about this story. I'm stuck in Canada, and there's like two subjects on which I will be unable to engage, and it's the Holocaust and this new Holocaust also. I can't. Original Snow White director's son slams Disney's 2024 remake insulting and disgraceful. What is the remake? Can we see images? It's a whole different concept, and I just totally disagree with it. And I know my dad and Walt would also very much disagree with it. Disney is trying to do something new with something that was such a great success earlier. Their thoughts are just so radical now. They changed the story and they changed the thought process of the characters. They're making up new woke things, and I'm just not into any of it. I find it, quite frankly, a bit insulting. I think Walt and he would be turning in their graves. Okay, but what's the story? What is the element that has changed? I want to hear. The new version. While the new version isn't expected to be released before March 2024, its plot casts the portrait to portray the new princess have already become sources of hot debates. One obvious difference between the new live-action version of Snow White and its end-run animated predecessor is apparent in the title itself, which eliminates the seven dwarfs. Moreover, those seven diminutive white male characters, which have themselves become beloved, have been replaced by a set of what Disney bills as magical creatures of various colors, sizes, shapes, and genders. Prince Charming is cast as a bumbling idiot. The new Snow White is no longer white, she's Cuban, played by Rachel Zegler, who also starred in Spielberg's West Side Story, which was a massive flop. Miss Zegler has been publicly critical of the original version. There's a big focus on her love story with a guy who literally stalks her. Weird, so we didn't do that this time. Okay, so you have totally denatured Snow White. Now you have a diversity within the seven dwarfs. They've introduced diversity within the seven dwarfs. I mean, I'm not super attached to Snow White. But you can see where it's headed. Remove the heterosexuality and increase the diversity. But I never knew there would be diversity injected into the seven dwarfs. The seven dwarfs, they all kind of look the same normally. They may have one element of personality that distinguishes them, but that's it. What is wrong with these people? Well, I think we must have seen this video before because people are sharing this on Twitter. Yes, I mean, the problem with this is they're ready to die. I mean, you should have a law that anyone with a car who's being slowly dominated by a mob has the full right to fully drive out as fast as they can. Now the twerkers show up. Now you don't want to kill the twerker, so you go slowly. And now the other twerkers show up around your car. Now you can't flee anymore without killing a couple of twerkers. And eventually the whole mob comes around your car. That is a big problem. We are allowing kidnapping. We are allowing false imprisonment to happen in our cities. And it keeps happening to police. And yet the state of the law is that you shouldn't be entitled to legal remedy if you have unclean hands. That is a legal doctrine. But yet it never applies here. But the way I would apply this, if I was to establish a clear law, I would say anyone who's a mob, who is slowing down the escape of a car from a mob, is committing the crime of kidnapping. And therefore, the driver, as they flee kidnapping and false imprisonment, the driver is entitled to any sort of damage that will be caused onto the criminals who are around his car. So a full right to squash, a right to flee, and a right to kill as you flee. And now there's a point at which you drive slowly to save some lives, and now there's more lives around you, and now you are totally stuck, and now you're going to get beaten, or you could get beaten. I love this image by Anti-White Watch because it's... This drawing is so representative. We white people need to... No. No, says the super chad Swedish guy. We white people need to... No. And anti-white watch says, hello, fellow conservatives. We really need to cool it with all the nationalism talk. And the physiognomy of this guy who says he represents white people, quite interesting. Pathetic, pessimistic, non-white focus group hammers Biden on the economy, crime, and the border. Those are some of the sentiments shared by non-whites who were recently asked to share their feelings about the economy under President Biden. So you gather non-white people into a room and you have to extract their thoughts. Liberal polling firm HIT Strategies hosted a focus group of 8 non-white voters last week and found them uniformly unimpressed with Biden's handling of the economy. Yeah, it's true that Biden, we haven't seen him activate the economic machine the way sometimes the left can do. Of course, they always do artificially. But there were years where Bill Clinton would kind of stimulate the economy artificially, and it would lead to the leftists feeling it on their paycheck. Now, the leftists with Biden, they find themselves totally left on the side. They voted for what they thought was a program of social justice of some kind, but they only found that the money was fleeing away to Ukraine and nothing is left for them. Hillary pounds Mexico's Baja Coast, Southern California braces for impact. Hillary weakened from a Category 4 hurricane to a tropical storm moving northward Sunday along the Baja California Peninsula in Mexico. Conditions across Southern California are deteriorating. Forecasters warned of catastrophic and life-threatening flooding. All right. And Ukraine to legalize porn production, says the AF Post. But we have seen that news a long time ago. So I don't know if they're recycling news here or if Ukraine has made any progress on passing this law. But it's super weird how Ukraine has a cultural change in line with kind of degenerate porn-related stuff, sexual-related stuff, LGBT-related stuff. That is really Ukraine showing itself to be more palatable to the American left. Ultimately, that's the goal. Ukraine wouldn't have changed that way on its own. It's really an operation of charm to be a decent option for the American left to side with them. Aquanote says legalizing porn production equals tank the birth rate equals genocide. Well, I was thinking, you know, isn't all of this ultimately a chain of causation that stems from the fact that war in Ukraine is currently a filter for the death of males? So you send all the males of your society at the front line. Now you've created a country where there's plenty of available females because the males have died in the meat grinder. And now they are economically, dependent, and they are available for human trafficking, for sexual tourism and immigration, and for porn. Ultimately, you can see the whole war as built for this to happen. Spindly Opinion says, if they wanted to destroy the Ukrainian youth, sending their women abroad and killing the men in war, it's a good strategy. Absolutely, and that's what they did. One moment, I'll be back in 5 seconds. John Drake says, prepping for greater Israel. Yeah, that may very well be. You know, I'm super worried about this. I'm super worried that there is such a history of the Jewish people traveling from locations to location, and ultimately the males being the prime immigrants and taking females locally. I'm extremely worried that Ukraine could be a situation in which a war was planned to liberate females for exactly that kind of post-war immigratory movement. That would be absolutely disgusting morally, you know. Blanket says, when JF says 5 seconds, he literally means 5 seconds. Exactly.
Please don't shit on this man. Look at the other verse. I wish politicians would look out for minors and not just minors on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks on the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the obese milking welfare. Well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground because all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Hey, man, please don't shit on this guy. He's got some good ideas. It's against.
Okay, well, can we have an explicit commentary? Because if you just say ha 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 ha, I can't comment. I can't counter.
Welfare queens, despite farmers being the most subsidized American industry. I mean, he's not even a farmer. He very much, most likely, if he lives in Appalachia, which he seems to be living in Appalachia, he probably does not have a job. Like,
So here we see Hassan Piker in a full streak of speculation. He's probably not a farmer because he seems to be living in Appalachia. And if he's living in Appalachia, he most likely doesn't have a job. My God, how many layers of judgment, probabilistic judgment of a very doubtful reliability here is Hassan doing?
Like many people in that region don't have a job.
So many people in that region don't have a job. He looks like he comes from that region. Therefore, he probably doesn't have a job.
Because they used to work in coal mines and no longer can work in coal mines because...
Okay, so he's heard something about the Appalachian region economy being based in coal mine. Now he's applying it to the entire population. Like, it's not like when the coal mines shut down, there were no grocery stores. Sorry, I was sneezing. It's not like there could be other alternative jobs showing and that perhaps some amount of people would become unemployed, but the rest would continue. No, no. Appalachia is the place where no one works because they used to work in coal mines.
Because of automation, or because, sorry, woke liberalism has eviscerated the coal mining industry. Living in Alabama right now, and everyone here has a boner for this song. Let me pick up my banjo and cry because motherfuckers out here getting snapped. Yeah, bro, if you're that poor, okay, if you're a poor guy living in this region, how in the ever-loving are you shitting on other poor guys?
See, that's interesting. This is commentable. Because up to now, what we've heard from Hassan is ridiculous speculation on one side and then ridiculous, ha 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 ha. That's not an argument I can counter. But that shows when the left, what the left takes issue with. They don't like that within the working class, there may be people who properly self-perceive as better than the people around them. Hassan Piker and his political project as a whole relies on people being deluded about them being all equal to all the other workers. Because once within the worker class, someone perceives properly that they are talented and that they're surrounded by parasites, what you have is this person knows that they are entitled to more from the system, that some kind of meritocracy could reward them properly for their work, and that ultimately they would gather much more money in a free system where they can negotiate their salary versus a union-based system where everyone is equalized and then we're trying to raise the bottom. That is a problem for the leftist plan.
Literally like, oh man, I hate the rich people defending pedophiles. Fine, on board with that message. That's good. And then immediately he's like, you know who's real bad?
That is commendable from Hassan Piker. He stands by the comments against Jeff Epstein in this song. I didn't expect that from him because a lot of leftists, they're totally going the pro-pedo way on this.
Different kind of poor guy. I hate...
Well, yes, whether you like it or not, Hassan, there has to be inequality within the poor guys.
How poor I am and how the rich have f***ed me over. But you know what I hate more than that? A different kind of poor guy.
My allergies are coming back strong, even if I did take two pills before the show because I wanted to be sure that I would minimize my allergies, but they're coming back strong. Yes, so it is a proper evaluation of this guy's song that there are classes among the working class. And that if you decide to go the way of the left, the way of the solidifying of interest under an average, you are in a race toward the bottom. Because if all workers say, oh, we all deserve something equally, then all workers are lowering their value. And especially those people who are truly willing to work and truly willing to be productive, they are losing on opportunities because they have to get the low expectation value that a worker has become if you include all parasitic forces of society under that label. If all workers are bound together and you are bound to just take one of them and hope that he's good, but he may not be good and he's most likely not good, then suddenly a worker is not worth $20 an hour. A worker is worth $10 an hour. And the productive classes of society, just the people who genetically can do better than most people, are not rewarded in Hassan Piker's ideal system. Blanket says, JF, have you seen Fantano's video on this song? No, I haven't. I'll check it out tonight. Logan Paul announced a $1.5 million plan to compensate investors after his crypto NFT project CryptoZoo reportedly got rug pulled. 8 months later, no money has been returned. Always remember, there are people who rode on the crypto craze, but they misguided their audience, and it seems that Logan Paul would be one of them in misguiding people toward the CryptoZoo. I don't know the details of the CryptoZoo. But there are certainly a lot of celebrities who they gave their name to some low-level projects, and by doing so, they have directed funds away of their fans who could have done better just buying Bitcoin. We need technology, more automation, more artificial intelligence, and more machines. Humans benefit from innovation. Don't let the critics convince you otherwise.
Heavy duty panels jostle a grapevine to break grapes free. Rice tillers get mowed down and bundled automatically. Radishes get mechanically harvested at 4,000 bunches per hour. futuristic grading software amazingly denies unripened tomatoes. Weight sensors trigger different arms to sort fish by size.
That's awesome. I love automation. I should be working in automation. Like, I would love to do these programs, these robots, but I like to stay home. Can I do automation work from home? Because I want to stay around my family. Shamrock Shake says, that's so satisfying to watch, lol. Yes, it is. It is quite amazing. There's something groovy about this kind of thing. It's hard to say there. There's kind of this, I think they call it the uncanny valley. It's kind of a low experience of the uncanny valley. It's not to the point where you're like, oh my God, this robot is trying to imitate human emotions. But it's like, oh yeah, this robot is kind of doing something kind of complex. It's like a sub-threshold stimuli of uncanny valley. I am afraid that this will end. This will be the end of Twitter. Yes, it will get rid of all the trolls and spammers, but not many people are going to be willing to give their data to a third-party Israeli company, given all the hacks and data breaches we see every day. Exactly, Elon. The whole error in this is not to offer an option for ID verification. The whole error is, first, to go aggressive on this option and make it eventually punishing if you don't take this option, and passing through an Israeli company. I don't want my data to be hosted in the Middle East, where they can do whatever they like with it. And it's going to get into dark networks who will buy my identity, and they'll be able to extort me, and they will know stuff about me, and you're going to see things pop out like, oh yeah, doxing of various people that, oh my God, where did... You're going to get a journalist of the New York Times who suddenly knows where this anonymous person lives. And no one will ever know that, no one can ever prove that it has passed through this Israeli company. So just find a more decent way for true verification. It's not so hard. There are blockchain solutions to this. There are companies that follow super strict regulation in better countries. Don't do it. Don't do the Israel thing. They love this kind of information. And then you find a Discord like Krautentee's Discord, and you look at the whole crew and their little gay up plans, as DK Shadow points out. It's all about the gay ups. And they're all plotting, and you can see a signature. You can see that where they get their information from. They exchange information between one another. They write it pieces about you. They publish it in their newspapers. Don't do it, Elon. A 19-year-old girl, Mackenzie Shirela, has been found guilty of murder. She drove her car into a brick wall with the intent of killing her boyfriend. She had planned this. Well, that is what the jury found, that she had planned this whole thing. It was a pre-planned incident with the intent of killing her boyfriend. It was not a case where it was just a sad accident.
Weighing of the evidence in this case. The totality of the evidence.
But at some point, women are going to have to pay for what they do, you know? Sorry to see her cry and all, but you're a killer.
Clearly demonstrates that Mackenzie Shirela acted...
Who can fix her, says Mark D's channel. Is there a volunteer on the chat? I think I could handle this girl. It's all about, can I get the powers of police over her? Like handcuffs, you know, metal bars like they have in jails. Can I have all this material? If so, if you give me access to this material and I need the true papers from a judge that says, JF, you can totally uncuff this girl. She's a murderer. We're giving you care of her. I could fix her.
Purposely and intentionally. In the early morning hours of July 31st, 2022, her purpose was to kill Dominic Russo and Dean Flanagan. No reasonable fact finder could view the totality of this evidence in this case and come to any other conclusion. Her actions were controlled, methodical, deliberate.
She's been methodical. So she has qualities.
Intentional and purposeful. This was not reckless driving. This was murder. Court renders the following verdicts. Count one. The court, having had count one tried to it pursuant to waiver, finds the defendant, Mackenzie Schirilla, guilty of murder, to wit Dominic Russo, in violation of the Ohio Revised Code Section 2903.02a, is charged in count one. Count two. The court, having had count two tried to it pursuant to waiver, finds the defendant, Mackenzie Schirilla, guilty of murder, to wit Davion.
For each woman who gets found guilty, so many of them get away with it, you have no idea. It's like, I've been in a court one day, and I saw the judge all day just passing the man, and it was like, here, sir, here, I will explain to you why, and it was a Hispanic female judge, okay, in Montreal. And all day long, she would go in front of male cases. She was like, here, I'm going to explain to you why I'm keeping you in jail, even if you've not been found guilty yet. It's because of the public right to security. And the way you have squeezed your girlfriend's bracelet has left a mark on her wrist, and she was taking cases and always explaining with a fact from the case why I have to keep you in jail. And at the end of the at the end of the day, there was a girl, and the girl just shows, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I don't have a lawyer, and oh yeah, I don't know much." What happened there? Sorry, Judge. I did steal those things that I'm being accused of. And the judge is like, well, we certainly wouldn't want to, you know, make a decision here that would ruin your life going forward and give you, you know, going through the process of the judiciary. It is a form of harassment in and of itself, and it would put you at a disadvantage if you had this criminal record. And so I will be releasing you, and I will be giving you a pardon, an unconditional pardon. Thank you for being here and being honest about what you've done. You go away. And she was joking around with the female violator of the law. I mean, it's exactly how it's been throughout the justice system, and even with juries. It has been demonstrated that juries, they are unable to be objective. They see a female, they are much less likely to find her guilty. So it's always satisfying when you see one case of a female being found guilty, but the injustice continues. Meanwhile, Sam Bankman-Fried says he wants to be in jail only on the weekends. He's pretty busy during the week. He would like to continue this crypto tumbling that he's been doing, and these redirections of funds and these manipulations of witnesses. Sam Bankman-Fried making a ridiculous demand here to be only in jail on the weekends. I think he doesn't fully understand what's going on. What a steal. Biden scrambles to sell off Trump's uninstalled border wall before the Finish It Act passes. So that is a case, that something that should totally be illegal. So you have Trump had bought these steel fences. You know, they are extremely massive steel beams. So this has high value. Like, I don't know how long they are, but if you get a steel beam like this, it's like a H beam, but it has four sides. So I guess it would be it has probably two or three times the amount of steel that an H beam would have, and an H beam of that length might be worth 3,000, 6,000, 12,000, something like this, depending on the thickness of it. So we're talking about posts that have value on the market. Now, Biden sees that there is a law potentially passing that would force him to continue the building of the wall, and so he's selling them before the law passes. That is really a president trying in an executive decision to deprive the people of a property that they've already purchased and to deprive the people of the right to pursue a construction project that was already pre-existing Biden and that could be passed by the Congress. Cloud Warmer says, JF, I watched your interview on Kentwell's show. It was really a good interview, very enjoyable, and you were in a good light. Yes, it was great. Great job. And I saw that he was happy that I had been positively commenting on his interviewer talent. And I'm happy that he's happy. If Kurt Cobain had been alive in 2020, he would have done media circuits telling people to just wear the fucking mask, man, you know? And also probably would have tried to play a live set at the Chaz Antifa BLM commune. That is true. Some people that we can admire from the past. I have great admiration for Nirvana, for their music. But the fact is, Kurt Cobain would probably, if he hadn't died from his own from suicide, I believe, right? If he hadn't died, he would be here and be just a pathetic leftist, and it would be so sad. Sharia says, Jeff, what do you think about Maui burning down, but not the mansions nearby? I haven't seen anything about this. You'd have to send me what is the claim there, because I couldn't find. I saw some loose claims, some loose conspiracy theories around, well, the Maui fires are human caused and it was all planned. But I haven't been convinced by anything I see, and I don't know what you're specifically referring to. Dependency on the state is the core of the takeover plot for humanity. Most of you have entered the final stage of your voluntary acceptance of mass slavery, and that slavery is fully dependent on the concept of fear, compliance to a false authority, and total dependence on the very tyrant called government, whose plan is to control the world by controlling the common, ignorant, and apathetic collective crowd called the people. That is a proper reading. Blanket says, JF, Kurt Cobain disliked telling others what to do, so he probably wouldn't do that. I mean, it's an interesting hypothesis. But there are people who have been who have been displaying themselves as liberal-minded, and this liberal in the true sense of being for a laissez-faire approach with respect to others, but they totally lost it in COVID. Like people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, they totally lost their cool in COVID. And so I wouldn't be surprised that Kurt Cobain could have also lost his cool under the pressure. Is this the real reason Iris cases are spiking? This will be our last news item for tonight. Iris, the most recent COVID variant, is supposedly causing spikes in cases all over the world. The story goes that England, Ireland, and US are all being hit hard. It's reached Australia too. Scientists are even clamoring for the return of masks, We've already been over everything you need to know about Eris. Long story short, COVID is just another made-up name for the flu, and the variants are coats of paint they slap on the narrative to try and keep it looking fresh. That is a very interesting framing of it. I agree with everything, you know, except that it's another made-up name for the flu. The thing is, it's an important distinction, but influenza, which comes to be called the flu, the problem is, for many decades now, we just looked at you, and you were coughing, and your nose was runny, and we said, you have the flu. But the fact is, not all of these times you had the flu. Some of these times you had just coronaviruses, rhinoviruses. You had different types of viruses that technically would not fall under the modern viral identification of the flu. And the problem is, we are now at a point where we can detect the identity of the particular virus you have. And at this point, COVID has detached itself. The idea of a coronavirus has detached itself from the flu. But any coronavirus you had 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you were falling in the flu category because we weren't doing the test. Now that we have these tests, the distinction becomes an interest for corporations because they can sell the test and they can sell fear about this new word that COVID is. And Surya, sorry, I thought I had read your super chat, but I missed it. Surya says, Jeff, tonight, what do you think about the UN starting to send European men to the Ukrainian front line to die? Wow. Are they doing this officially? Because they've been doing it in a kind of unofficial manner. I'm Googling it. European men to Ukraine. They've been doing it in an unofficial manner for a long time. And it was through they were just allowing their soldiers to miss time, and they would come there as mercenaries, and they would go there on their own risks and as basically individuals choosing to go there. But now you say it's official now, Lithuanian. Okay, Lithuanian men to Ukraine. But still, you know, I Googled this and I don't see any recent news item about this. Trying to find what you're referring to. There are articles about Lithuanian volunteers, but that was a long time ago. The fight starts inside. Why are Lithuanian volunteers drawn to war in Ukraine? Well, you know, Lithuanian people, it's a very special case because it's very, very close. They must feel very involved in supporting Ukraine because Lithuania is, I should pull the map, but Lithuania, if I remember correctly, is captured by Russia, basically on the northwest side of Russia. So here's the positioning for they are really at the front line of this because they are part of the triple country right here, that you have Russia, you have Ukraine, you have Belarus, if I'm correct. This is Poland. So Lithuania is here. Involving Lithuania is probably a way to eventually involve NATO and the rest of Europe. But Lithuania is at a natural spot where they know that if Russia had a program of expansion, the three first countries that they would go for in the Western Front would be these three countries here. And similarly, these three countries have been the strategic point of advancement for NATO forces to have a take on Russia, that is a positioning toward Russia that is advantageous. So in a way, the existence of these three countries, if you will, is a symbol of the push of Western Europe toward Russia. And if I'm correct, I don't know which of the three, but I know that some of them are already integrated in NATO, and I don't know which ones they are, maybe the three of them. They want a land bridge to Kaliningrad. Exactly. I know that Kaliningrad is an important place. That is, if I understand correctly, there's a passage basically allowing Russia access to the sea. And Kaliningrad is part of that passage. All three are NATO parts, says Lendald Guntram. So yeah, I mean, the existence of these countries is this whole policy, this whole NATO expansionist policy against Russia. So you tell me, well, these countries are now sending people to Ukraine. You can send me in DM if you'd like the news item you're referring to, but it's certainly not good because it means that the NATO side is trying to slowly insert it into the head of the people that it's our business to get into Ukraine. So it's a way to... I don't think that this country can have any real impact on the front line. But I think that what we are in front of would be a psychological program. They are looking to use a country that no one cares about. Like, it's not a country that's on the mind of Americans, Canadians, and perhaps even Western Europeans. Who cares about Lithuania? But they're using it to create a precedent that, oh, here's a NATO country that has sent men. And then what's going to be the next? Poland, one of the other three countries right there. They're going to expand. And yes, John Drake, I agree with your analysis. Someone wants World War III. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.